The return of the Cardiac Cats. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast, Sean and Jay and I talk about the Lions' last second victory versus the Falcons. You know we got to talk about the Everson Griffin trade. Then we state our case about Matt Patricia's status as the Lions head coach. We also preview the upcoming game versus the Colts on Sunday. All this and more coming up right now on the Die Hard Den podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Hey, guys. I couldn't do it last week, but I am back.
Hey, it's good to have you back, my man. Hey, I want you to do. Thank you for coming and tuning in to this podcast. You know we appreciate you. Go over to our Facebook page. Follow us. Shawnee J does a great job of keeping you informed over there on our Facebook page. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the like button. Hit the notification bell so you know when you get fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. If you are listening on one of our podcast platforms, thanks for the download. We appreciate your listening to our show. And let's get this thing started. You know what we do. It is time to tell me something good. So, Shawnee J, tell me something good.
The Lions did something that was very un-Lions, like they got aggressive. Mm-hmm. That meaning they finally traded for my pass rusher, Mr. Yeah. Everson Griffin, former of the Dallas Cowboys. Uh-huh. You know, I early this year, I suggested Lions sign as a free agent, if you recall.
Yeah.
And they didn't sign at the time, but they got him, so they listened to me after all.
Hey. And, you know, a fun fact, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but Detroit is where he wanted to be. But let's move on. Getting healthy. The Lions are getting healthy. Justin Coleman is slated to come back soon. He's going to help out that secondary. And we're getting healthy at the right times. Desmond Trufant returned back to the practice squad, today. So we're looking at that. The Lions are getting healthy at the right time. And one thing, the Lions, the Detroit Lions, has set an NFL record. For the first six games of a season, the Lions have not fumbled the ball one time. Not talking about losing the fumble. They haven't fumbled the ball. They haven't dropped it. They haven't put it on the ground. So big shout out to the Lions for taking care of the ball. Now, you know,
let me say this.
Go ahead, brother.
Patricia. He preaches ball security. One good thing, he preaches ball security. I know a lot of people don't like Patricia. They want him gone. They want him fired. But he preaches ball security. The Lions, you know, took that to heart. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to win. So let the man do his job. People give the man a break. He's doing his job, man. He's doing his thing now.
We'll talk about him later on in the show. But now it is time to go on the ball. And on the ball this week, let's take a look at the offense versus the Falcons. Stafford was tearing it up. My man was getting it done. Matthew Stafford, 25 of 36, 340 and a touchdown. Now the run game
started. The
winning touchdown. Now the Adrian Peterson in the run game stalled a little bit. Only 29 yards for AP on the ground. But Kenny Galladay continuing his excellent play. Six receptions for 114 yards. He didn't have a touchdown, but he was very much a key cog in the wheel. 388 yards of total offense for the Lions on Sunday. It was a hell of a game. You know, the last minute, and the name of this podcast episode is called The Cardiac Cats Return. I mean, it's the return of the Cardiac Cats. The play with Gurley really set us up for success. Now, I know people have seen that gif with Todd Gurley laying on the ground and the Lions over him celebrating, because they knew they had nine behind the wheel and we had under a minute to go. And you know, Captain Comeback is going to get it done.
No timeouts. A minute and 4 seconds. That's maybe plenty of time for Matty Ice, the real Matty Ice.
Yeah. Man, did you see? I don't know if you saw that, but the Lions' social media account changed their avatar to the picture of Matthew Stafford's face superimposed on Pimp C's body with the big white fur coat showing the diamonds.
Yeah.
Man, I love that, man. Big shout out to those cats over there at the Lions PR staff and their social media account people for doing that. That was awesome. I mean, a lot of Lions players actually shared that on their Instagram accounts as well. But he proved it. He had ice water in his veins on Sunday. I mean, he's doing what he's done. Now, the only quarterback that has more fourth quarter comebacks right now in the NFL was the guy across the field. But we kept him on the sidelines. So, hey, Matthew Stafford was a field general on Sunday.
Yes, he was.
You know, and it was
who won NFC Player of the Week.
I don't think it's been announced yet. I don't know if he's in the he was even a candidate for it, but I hope so. I mean, he played a really good game. I mean, you think about it, he didn't turn the ball over, no interceptions, no fumbles. He was very accurate for those incompletions that he had was actual this spikes. You know, so
right.
So, I mean, his completion percentage was a lot higher than what it actually is on paper. So, Kenny Golladay balled out. Now, here's my perspective. You can say what you want. Pay the damn man. Pay Kenny Golladay. He earned that money. That dude is getting it done. I mean, I know.
I post that in the group.
I mean, I know if you look at it after the Jaguar game, he said, this is going to cost you. So he was letting them know, the Lions know, this is going to cost you. Now, if the Lions were smart, give them a big signing bonus up front and then kind of spread that salary out over the years. So, I mean, they have a really good salary cap specialist in Detroit. So we can get a good contract for Kenny Golladay that doesn't hurt the team long term.
Yes, pay the man. I post that and I go, definitely pay the man. Mm-hmm. And what really pissed me off is that there was a rumor that the Giants are talking to the Lions about trading Galloway.
Yeah.
If I tell you Bob Quinn would have did that, I would have.
Yeah, they made the call, but that price would be hefty, especially the way he's playing right now. That's going to be a big price tag for Kenny Golladay. Excuse me, I'll get me some water. But that'd be a big hefty price tag for Kenny Golladay for any team.
Don't
right
trade
now.
Him at all. We need
we need to keep him. All right, moving on. Daryl Bevell. Now, this is the thing that really gets me. And I wanted to ask you this. Why do you think he's not sticking with DeAndre Swift? DeAndre Swift is the best back on the field right now. He has the most versatility of any of the backs that we have. And I just don't understand why Bevell is sticking with Adrian Peterson as the number one back. I just don't think that. You know, I think that Swift is the man. I think he needs to have the bulk of the carries. What do you think about that?
I could tell you why. One, you know, it's a relationship. Bevell trusts the veteran Peterson in tough situations, one of the greatest running backs in NFL history.
Yeah.
I know he's older, but he don't want to put the rookie in bad situations like opening day when Swift dropped that short touchdown pass to the one.
Swift didn't turn the corner from that, man. Come on, man. You really think Adrian Peterson is a better back than Swift right now?
No, but Bevell has more trust in the veteran, you know, and especially in crucial situations. You want to put a rookie in a bad situation like he going back to opening day when he dropped that easy touchdown pass. That has something to do with it, I'm sure.
But he didn't turn the corner from that, man. The dude that had a 100-yard rushing game with two touchdowns. He leads the Lions with rushing touchdowns right now. I mean, he's the leading.
He does. He'll get in the gradually. I like what he's doing. He's trusted. That's why he bought Peterson in.
But
steady hand, a trusted veteran. Swift gets carry. He's still the future. Right now, Bevell has more trust in the veteran Peterson.
Well, here's my thing. Peterson's not his yards per average, his yards per carry average is atrocious. It's plummeting. And the teams, and this is another thing, that his packages when he comes in is very predictable. And teams are keen on that. So it's not like they're making a disguised play call when he comes in or they're mixing it up. When Adrian Peterson's in the game, you know they run on the ball. It's a very, very few times where, you know, he's in the game and they're passing. So I just don't get it where, okay, Adrian Peterson, he's a veteran. You know, he has the big name, but the Lions are less predictable with Swift in the game. You know that you can run the ball with him. You know you can pass the ball with him. Most time you see AD on the field, it's going to be a run. And the defenses are starting to key on that. You have to mix that play calling up. Run some play action.
Exactly.
Something, but the play calling with Peterson on the field is causing his yards per average carries are going down. I mean, either you need to stick with Kevin. If Kabina comes in the game with him, yeah, I understand it because Kabina, he makes a good way for Adrian Peterson. Running Adrian Peterson out of a one-back set right now is not getting it done. You see that play on the goal line. Dante Fowler just blew that play up where they could have had a play action and Marvin Jones could have walked into the end zone for that score. But we get stopped on fourth down and turned the ball over. I didn't like that play call at all. So, you know, what do you think about the play calling becoming predictable in certain packages?
Well, I agree. You know, you got to mix it up. You don't be too predictable. Mm-hmm. Throw some passes while Peterson in the game. Mm-hmm. They could have maybe threw a, like you said, quick pass to Hockenson or one of the receivers when Peterson got stuffed on 4th and 1 down mm-hmm. near the goal line. I agree with that part. But like I said, Dell Bevel, he has more trust. He has a history of Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. He has more trust in him. And then trust in a rookie in crucial situations, like I said. Mm-hmm. People say, well, he don't put a rookie in a bad situation like that. So Bevel listens to the people. That's yeah. why he got the veteran. That's what he brought him in.
But Swift, to that point, Swift is not going to get the experience and not going to get that if you don't put him in those situations. He's on the team for a reason. And he's proven himself the way he's playing. He's proven that he's moved on from that the first game of the season. He hasn't dropped a pass since then. I mean,
That's true. So he's getting better. But you know who's really lost in the sauce is Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, Kerryon Johnson. Let's get into some trade bait. Kerryon Johnson himself. They said he's gotten a call. The Lions have gotten a call for him from Philadelphia. Looking at like a 5th rounder. I mean, I think the thing that's may keep him on the field or keep him in Detroit is his protection. He has been keeping Stafford clean back there, especially in long yardage situation on 3rd down where they have to pass. He's keeping them clean. He's picking up blitzes. That's one thing Kerryon Johnson is doing this year better than anyone. But actually, he's one of the top rated blocking running backs in the league right now.
Right. That's true. That is true.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's going to keep Kerryon Johnson on the Lions. Now, we know we've had a couple of trade rumors. The Galladay rumor was just ridiculous. They weren't going to take him. The Lions weren't going to trade him. But one name that has come up for several teams is Marvin Jones Jr. What do you think about the Lions trade? You don't want him to trade him. One thing that some Lions fans are calling for, they say, okay, yeah, we can trade Marvin Jones because we have Quintez Cephas. And Cephas hasn't been on the field since Kenny Galladay has been back. Now, he played good. Another good receiver. Now, I will say this. He had some problems his first couple of games with some drops. Matthew Stafford's receivers have been letting him down this season, including Galladay. He has a few drops himself. But I really don't like the trade either, man. I wouldn't want Marvin Jones off the team. I like Marvin Jones. He's aggressive. He's a good attacking receiver. He knows how to go grab the ball. And that's something he didn't really do when he was in Cincinnati, but he's really has developed that as a receiver in Detroit where he goes and attacks the ball and he goes and grabs it and it's out the air and he knows how to make some contested catches in some tight situations in Detroit.
And did you see my posts, a couple posts in our group about, you know, remember 2 years ago when they traded Golden Tate away?
Yeah.
How Stafford and the offense struggled.
Yeah.
So we got a good 1-2 punch, complimentary receiver to Kenny Galladay. Mm-hmm. He takes a lot of pressure off Galladay. Mm-hmm. And if you trade Jones away, oh, we got Cephas. No, the same thing will happen to like the Golden State trade all over again, where Stafford will struggle. Teams will double team Galladay, and the offense will struggle again. You once again, after they trade for Snacks, they trade away Golden Tate, which is very stupid.
Yeah.
Now, don't do the same thing, get Everson Griffin, but trade away Marvin Jones, you know, offensive weapon.
Yeah.
That'd be stupid.
Now, the one thing that, the one name that did come about that has been leaked to the Lions was as a potential replacement for Jones would be Gallup out of Dallas. I think they're, you know, I think Dallas is on a fire sale right now. They're not winning. And that's one, he's not getting a lot of, balls from, Andy Dalton, and he may be the odd man out. You look at, you have, Cooper out there, and then you have, CeeDee Lamb. So he may be the odd man out in Dallas. So if the Lions trade Marvin Jones, do you think that they can make a deal for Michael Gallup?
I wouldn't trade Jones, another steady veteran. Ernest Keith is trusted. He's got good speed, good size, good hands. I wouldn't trade him.
Okay.
I mean, don't do it. I mean, but I would trade draft picks for maybe another defender we can get into later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the defensive side of the ball. So, hey, that's on the ball this week. Good discussion. We looked at the Lions offense versus the Falcons. Now, one thing we didn't talk about is my man T.J. Hockenson. Man, I love the way the Lions are starting to use him more. He's starting to pan out to be that. That's why we drafted him in the first round. Yeah, and
that's why we drafted him.
And here's a nugget for you guys. If you haven't, you know, I know you guys. If you watch the other show that I'm on, I said this the other day, but I'm going to give it to you again right here. Here's a little bit of nugget. Now, you listening, Johnny J? Are you listening, my man?
I'm listening.
I got your ear. He was the only tight end on National Tight Ends Day to catch the game-winning touchdown. Say what now? T.J. Hockenson was the only tight end on National Tight Ends Day, which is the last Sunday in October, to catch a game-winning touchdown on National Tight End Day. He had a really good game, 59 yards, 5 receptions. He kind of had a blunder on that final drive, not getting out of bounds, but he made up for it, making himself available, getting open on that final catch of the game. So big shout out to him. Go and listen to his Sights and Sounds on the Lions. He was mic'd up, and he was hilarious on that portion. He was talking about how they gave him a new mouthpiece and they dipped it in mouthwash.
Yeah.
He was minty fresh for the game. So big shout out to the young fella over there. He's got a Lions mane now. He's not looking like the clean cut kid when he came into the league when we drafted him. He's got a little beard going. He's got a mane going. T.J. Hockenson is turning into a baller. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes, absolutely. Now, a lot of people were down when we drafted him so high. But he's doing all the things that Eric Ebron and Brandon Pettigrew was supposed to do before
man,
them.
Man, them names. Those names. Yeah, he's turning into the tight end that we drafted. All right. So that was On the Ball this week. Thank you for watching us right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the share button, hit the notification bell. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. Go over there and like and follow our Facebook page. Shawnee J, he does his thing over there on Facebook, keeping you informed of what's going on with the Lions. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, thanks for listening. We appreciate the download. Now it is time to defend the den. Let's get into this defense, my man. Jaron Curse is doing his thing. After coming off suspension, he has been a big, hard-hitting safety. Now, one thing I would say about Jaron, I didn't know how big this dude is. He's bigger than Tracy Walker. I mean, that's a big cat.
He's 6'4", 220, big safety. Wow,
that's
I love
a
it.
Big dude. Now, Romeo Okwara, cuz is getting it done. He had 2 sacks on Sunday and a forced fumble with 2 quarterback hits. And you know, Trey Flowers, you got to talk about what Shawnee J calls our low budget Reggie White. He had a quarterback hit, a fumble recovery, and he was out there in coverage breaking up a pass. Now, what do you think about the defense switching to primarily a 4-3 defense?
I love it. You know, like I said, when the Lions lost to the Saints, I said, you know, about to go into the bye. I said, this is a good time for the bye, for Patricia and the coordinators put their heads together, come up with a scheme in the second half of the season. It looks like they came with a scheme. Because look how they played the run. You see how he's stuffing the run right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, Petey Cini is shouting, is getting it done. You cannot – they got that run stuffing package with Petey Cini and the Polynesian boys up there with him and Shelton. They are stuffing it. And you have the – and the linebackers are cleaning it up as well. So I do like the 4-3. They're stuffing the run. They're playing more zone coverage. So, I mean, and they're giving the young fellas a break from playing all that man, because they were, trust me, they were getting torched back there in man, especially with Desmond Trufant being down for most of the year and Justin Coleman. But I like the switch to the 4-3. I agree with you on that one. With them playing more zone and stuff on the run, the defense is playing more aggressive.
Exactly. I love it. You know, against Jacksonville and Atlanta, they released their stuff, two pretty good running backs.
Yep.
Coleman for the Jags and, of course, Gurley for the Falcons. I love it. I love it, man. Like I said, Patricia, Bevel, and Unlin need to get their heads together over the bye. Come up with a scheme to get back in. They have. And I love adding Everson Griffin. He's going to help the defense more as a pass rush specialist that I've been calling for years. Yes.
Yeah. We'll talk about him in a little bit. All right. So, Justin Coleman, he's going to be coming back shortly, I believe. Hopefully he's been practicing. Hopefully we can get him back this weekend for the Colts game. That's one thing that I think he is going to have a good impact, where he is the quintessential slot cornerback. You know, he's going to alleviate some of the pressure off those young guys, you know, in coverage. And then you have this going to increase the depth where you can play Darrell Roberts, you know. We're going to have more quality defensive backs on the field when you have Justin Coleman coming back. Now, I'll say this, and you can take it for what it's worth. I'm not really sold on Trufant. I like this. I like getting Coleman back. Trufant, I mean, I know we signed him, and you know he's on a two-year deal, but I'm not really – even when he was in, I really wasn't – haven't been sold on him this season. But Amani Awarie, I'm sold on that cat. He has been balling. You know, we hadn't talked about him because you were out last week, but he's really been stepping up in coverage. And the young fella Okuda is really becoming a tackling machine. Actually, I think down the line, if you look at it, I think that really that you can move Okuda to safety, because he has that ability. You know, he can cover out in space, cover the big tight ends, and he can hit. And so it may be one of the things where if one of those young, those older guys moves on, you can slide him in at safety. But
what does Mason sing? We draft him as a corner.
Yeah.
Cover corner. But if you move to safety, we have to get a new corner, replace him at corner.
Yeah, we can do that though. You can get another corner. You know, that one of the I'm not talking about this year. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about down the line. If you think about, look at Charles Woodson, he was drafted at a corner, right? But what did he play his majority of his career at? He played at safety.
Safety.
So I think that may be the same thing that the Lions can do with Okuda. Now here's the big man that's doing this big right now. And it's Romeo Okwara. Dude is leading the team in sacks, forced fumble on Sunday, quarterback hits. He's really shining in the 4-3 system. What do you think about big Romeo Okwara getting it done right now?
I love it. You know, he's a free agent pickup from the Giants back in 2018. I love he has best seasons with the Lions. He's getting better, but like I said, he can use some help. And that's kind of help that Everson Griffin will and should be able to supply.
Yeah, I will say this, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But with the younger Okwara going down, being put on IR, they needed that depth. But let's talk about now. We got one player on the defense that has been getting calls actually for the last couple of seasons. Jarrett Davis has had some trade interest from the Steelers. And one of the big reasons why the Steelers are calling now for Jarrett Davis is that Devin Bush went down. What do you think about the now, you know, his snaps have went down this year. You know, they're playing Reggie Ragland is playing more snaps. But Davis has ranked high in his PFF score when he's been in. When he's gotten the opportunity to play, he's playing better, you know, than he has earlier in the season. But what do you think about the Lions potentially moving him to the Steelers for a draft pick?
There you go. You said the key word, a draft pick. Mm-hmm. I don't like a hater. A draft pick will help us now. Mm-hmm. You know, we need a player. It'd be one thing if a player to help us, but not a draft pick. Let me ask you. The draft picks, we traded Kyle Van Noy to the Patriots for word in there. Are they helping us? Yeah. Where's the draft pick we traded Golden Tate and Quandre Diggs and Darius Slayway for? Are they helping us? So I don't like those draft picks, you know, trade for a draft pick that pay or may not pan out. And that's why I'm willing to part with all the draft picks if we get a bona fide player. So don't give me that. We'll trade for a future draft pick. I mean, because what the draft picks are traded for, you know, Van Noy, Slay, Diggs, and Tate. Are they helping us right now? I don't think so.
Now, the only thing I would say with the Lions trading Davis for a draft pick is that actually the Lions only have 5 draft picks. When they made the trade for Everson Griffin, they gave away their 6th draft pick for next year. So now they only have 5. So that's why I'm looking at Davis as for potential for a draft pick and not a player, because they need that draft capital going into next season. But
we trade a player, we hurt our depth.
Yeah, I feel you. But you know, it's what was that one thing? Something's gonna have to balance it out for us to keep that draft capital. So it's one of those things where it's a thing of need for them, and it's a thing of need for us. Now, I get what you're saying. It would hurt our depth. Now, I'm not saying that the Lions should make the deal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying get rid of Jared Davis. Actually, I like Jared Davis, and he's playing pretty well this year. But yes, that's one of those things where it may become interesting coming up for the trade deadline on election day, is the Jared Davis going to the Steelers for a potential draft pick. Now, one of the names that came up that's coming up, and I don't think the Lions are going to do it because it's going to cost too much. The Lions have been linked to Stephon Gilmore.
Yes, I saw that.
They have been linked to the Stephon Gilmore. They're looking like that the Patriots want to dump that salary. I don't think the Lions will do it. I think it's going to cost them a first-round draft pick next season. Stephon Gilmore is 30. Now, I'm not saying that's in today's NFL. That's not as saying back in the day where he's just super old. But he is the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year. But I just don't think the Lions are going to give up that first rounder for him.
I'll give him a New England second, and that's it.
Now, if it's one thing, if it's a draft pick and a player, yeah, you know. But right now, I wouldn't make that deal if I was the Lions. Not saying that I don't want Stephon Gilmore. Don't get me wrong. That's just price is a little hefty for me right now.
Yes, it is.
Okay, now let's get into this Everson Griffin trade, because I've been wanting to talk about this for so long. Shawnee J, what do you think the Lions are getting in Everson Griffin?
I think they still get a good pass rusher. He's been lying count on stats. Oh, yes. Matthew Stafford said, yes, I don't have to worry about this guy hitting me anymore. he's Stafford for lunch whenever we played the Vikings.
Especially that 10-sack game.
Like I said, now he's on our side. Yeah. And his, you know, because he had to sit out the first 5 games because of COVID protocol. Mm-hmm. But his debut game in the Lions uniform against all teams, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And him and AP, I put this in the group. Him and AP are going to go wild. AP on offense and Everson Griffin on defense. Mm-hmm. 2 former Vikings are going to lead the Lions to victory in Minnesota. Who would have thought that? So, yes, like I said, Griffin will help the Lions. Yeah. And the pass rush gets help to Okora. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Okora can't do it all by himself. And also, Griffin's a pretty good run stuffer, too.
Yeah. And he can play inside and he can play outside. I think his best place is on the outside. But here's what I say. If we look at the younger Okora going down, it hurt our depth at defensive end because he was starting to come around a little bit. Then he got injured. You know, here's my thing. They bring back Austin Bryant, but who is Austin Bryant? Austin Bryant has only been on the Lions in name only for the, since he's been. I think he's played one game for the Lions, and he got hurt again. So I just think that I like the trusted veteran presence over an unproven commodity that has an injury history. And then another thing is that we're getting them cheap. I mean, we're getting them from about for nine games, and we're only paying him a little, like, if he makes plays all the nine games he's scheduled to play in Detroit, it'd be about $3.4 million. You got $1.75 in base salary and another the rest of that is going to be in game checks, like roster bonuses for playing in that game. So I think it's a good deal for the Lions.
It is a good deal. People complain about giving up a sixth or maybe a fifth at best round pick for myself. You guys, please, you don't know football. I mean, we can give up one or two. We give up a sixth round pick potentially.
Yeah.
And so a sixth rounder. So I'd gladly get up for one of the best pass rushers in NFL history.
Yeah, I like that. I like the move by the Lions. I think it was a good, solid move by Bob Quinn. Surprisingly, that they were aggressive going out and getting him. Now, one last thing before we move on from this is that Everson Griffin really wanted to be in Detroit to begin with. If you look at, there was a tweet that went out in July. It was a guy who said he told Patricia that he wanted Griffin from the Vikings in free agency. And he said he told that to Matty P. Matty P agreed. He said he wanted him, but he ended up signing with Dallas. But at the bottom of that tweet, Everson Griffin said, LFG, let's freaking go. So he wanted to come to Detroit. So I think this is the place he wanted to be all along. He didn't want to be in that D, the big D. He wanted to be in the D in Detroit. So he wanted to be in Detroit all along. So, hey. Go ahead.
Last winter, before this COVID nonsense started, when NFL, the season ended right after the Super Bowl, and free agents, you know, guys, you know, especially free agents, who's the guy who suggested Lions should draft the Griffin?
Yeah, it was Mike Valencia. No, it was Shawnee J. Shawnee J said it. I won't give you a hard time, brother. It was Shawnee J. Shawnee J did say that the Lions should go after Everson Griffin. All right, that is Defend the Den this week. Thank you for watching our show. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, hit the like button, hit the share button, hit the notification bell, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and be aware that you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. Go over there on Facebook page and like it. Shawnee J, like I said, does an amazing job of keeping you informed on all the Lions news right there on our Facebook page. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, we appreciate your download. Now it is time for everybody's favorite show, Hell Yeah or Hell Nah. Shawnee J, are you ready to play the game today?
Yes, I am.
All right. First up, the Lions need to make one more move before the trade deadline. Hell yeah or hell nah?
I'm going to say hell yeah for asterisk. We got to be buyers, not sellers. I don't want to sell any assets. No trade away Marvin Jones or Jared Davis. If we can use a pick to get maybe one more defender, like there was talks about getting Stephon Gilmore, not necessarily him, but a good veteran DB or the linebacker from Houston or the defensive tackle from the Jets, you all been linked to. If we get those guys for a draft pick, I don't care. You know, let's win now. Let's be aggressive. Let's not hold on to draft picks who may or may not pan out. So, yeah, I say hell yeah.
Okay, hell yeah for Shawnee J. I'm going to say yeah. I think we need to make one more move. I think we need to get I like that a defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams. If we can get him for a second round pick, he's relatively young. He's still on his rookie deal. I think that would be a good deal to make as well. All right, next up, Matt Patricia survives if the Lions go 9-7 but miss the playoffs. Hell yeah or hell no?
Now you say if he goes 9-7 or misses the playoffs.
Yep.
I would say even I think they will make the playoffs, but if they should make it, miss it, and he has a winning record going 7th, I'm going to say, hell yes, he will stay because, you know, he turned around. I mean, he finally got to work. You got to give coaches a chance to work. Now, I was as frustrated as anybody about all the losing. But, hey, and a lot of people just want the Lions to lose out just so they get fired, which is a loser mentality in itself. But if he got the shit turned around, he started to win. The players are buying into his system. They're playing hard for him. Now's not the time to get rid of him because they finally turned the corner.
All right. I'm going to say if he doesn't, if he goes 9-7 but misses the playoffs, I think he's gone. I think that's a hell no for me. He's not going to stay. I don't think Sheila Forsham's going to keep him at 9-7. If you look at 9-7, what was the 9-7 was? What? Caldwell's record in his last season. So if he doesn't make the playoffs at 9-7, he's gone. That's just my opinion. All right. Rovio Okwara can finish the season with double digit sacks. Hell yeah or hell no.
I think he's on playing like this. I think he potentially can, especially with Griffin coming in. He'll take some pressure off him. Like I said, the group, once again, I can, you know, post it that both guys will accompany each other to awesome pass rushing defensive ends. I mean, you can't double team either one of them now. We can one, but you can't do double team both. So I think it's potential to get at least 10 sacks. So I'm going to say hell yeah.
All right. I'm going to say hell yeah as well. If he keeps on playing at the pace he is right now and they keep his snaps up, I think he can finish with double digit sacks if they continue to play in that 4-3 defense. All right. Next up, the Lions not winning a home game this year isn't a big deal. Hell yeah or hell no.
Well, like I said, the season isn't over. They haven't won a home game yet. They only played 2. Their 3 victories all came on the road, which is amazing. Like I put me to see my post. Remember the Lions set the record for 24 straight road losses.
Yeah.
And people are bitching and moaning and crying, we can't go on the road. Mm-hmm. We won 3 in a row. So we're going to win. We're going to get our home victories starting this Sunday against the Colts. I'm still confident we'll beat the Colts. They're a good team, yes. But I'm still confident we will beat them. So we'll get our home victories. Those two home losses were to the Bears. I mean, we should have beat the Bears.
Yeah.
Thanks, we jumped on them, but we were able to score 35 straight, and we still came back, almost had a chance. So we will beat the Colts, and we're going to win our home game. So don't worry, people.
So it's not a big deal to you. All right, I'm going to say hell yeah as well. With the COVID and just the way things are going this season, and they're really not, there's going to be like 500 fans in the stands, like friends and family at the game on Sunday. So I don't think it's a really big deal that the Lions haven't played in front of many fans this year on the road or in person. Actually, their road wins have came in stadiums that have allowed fans. So I'm not really big sold on that right now, just because they have to go out and play. So I like them playing at Ford Field. You know, I like them having a home field advantage in the crowd, but I don't even think it's a big deal right now. All right, next up, it is time for the Lions to release one Mr. Austin Bryant. Hell yeah or hell no.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, please, about Austin Bryant?
It is time for the Lions to release Austin Bryant. Hell yeah or hell no.
You say release?
Release. Just release him. Yeah, release him. Cut him.
You mean cut him from the team?
Wave him. Yeah. What has he done? I mean, to be honest with you, he's been on the shelf since he's been in Detroit. So I just think it's time for him. I'm asking you, is it time for them to just cut bait from him?
Not yet. I'm going to say hell no. Not quite yet, because he's still young. He's still got potential. He may want to, so, you know, he's a, okay, I'm just a pro. I want to see him too. He came from Clemson, who had that awesome defensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, he was part of the national champions. He's like the injuries. I think you can hold on to him, throw him on IR, but 2021 be his big year, his make or break year. Right now, since you brought in Griffin, Everson Griffin, you buy him some more time. You can keep him, you know, you can hide him on injury reserve. It's like, you know, but, you know, 2021 is his make or break year for sure. So I say keep him. Hang on. He's a young, big guy, and I love those big guys. So keep him one more year. Nah. So better get healthy.
Nah, bruh. Hell nah, man. I mean, hell yeah. It is time for them to get rid of his ass. It's time for him to go. He's been on the shelf for too long. We wasting money paying this guy for not playing. Now, we're not paying him game checks. He's not getting his full salary. But I just can't see wasting another year. We're just bringing him back off IR again. I just think it's time for them to cut bait. It's time for him to let him go. He's just been on the roster, like I said, in name. Time for him to go. All right, next up, last one. The Lions will be above 500 at the halfway point of the season. Now, if you think about that, that's what? That's two games. So they have to win the next two games to be 500. So, hell yeah or hell no, the Lions will be at or above 500 at the halfway point of the season.
Hell yeah, we're going to be 5-3. We're going to beat the Colts on Sunday. We're going to beat the Vikings the following Sunday. So, hell yeah for me.
Okay, I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to go hell yeah as well. I'm thinking that they're going to beat the Colts. And I say this, that the Colts offense isn't as good as what you've seen. Their passing game struggles. Yeah, they have a decent running game, but their passing game, Phillip Rivers has almost as many interceptions as touchdowns. So I'm going to say hell yeah as well. I agree with that. And the Minnesota Vikings having a fire sale, getting rid of everybody. You know, they had Njoku coming up from the Jaguars, and they only had him for a few weeks, and they traded him away as well. So they're not really sold on what's going on. You know, they had a lot of
people. And Daniel Hunter's out for the season with injury, too.
And then, yeah, they had players opt out, and, you know, so they're not at 100% right now. So I just think that – I think they're really catching in the season at 1-5. I think they're done. All right. That is hell yeah or hell nah for this week. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Die Hard Damn podcast once again. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Damn podcast. Like our Facebook page over there. Shawnee J keeps you up on all the Lions news over there on our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at Die Hard Damn Pod T1. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, thank you for listening to this show. We appreciate the download of our program. Now it is time to state your case. We're going to talk about a topic that Shawnee J and I have been talking about just amongst ourselves. And we have very different views on this topic. But you ready, Shawnee J?
I'm ready.
All right. It is time to state your case. All right. State your case this week. What are your thoughts on Matt Patricia after the win against the Falcons on Sunday?
Obviously, Patricia, you know, is finally starting to click with the Lions, I think. You know, one or two games, he was on the hot seat. I said it before, I was just as frustrated as any Lions fan out there. All the losing the past first two seasons plus the start of the season. But I say, you know, if he wasn't fired after the Saints game, you know, Sheila kept him. I say, well, him and the coordinators once again got to put their heads together and figure it out, figure out something, defense, turn this thing around. It came out and won the first two games, which is good. I think, like I said, I think they will win at least the next two games. They better beat the Colts on Sunday and the Vikings the following week. And I think they can make the playoffs. A lot of people still want him fired. But a lot of people want the Lions just to lose the rest of the game so he'll get fired. Once again, I said that's a losing mentality in itself. I mean, you just cut your nose off to spite your face. You just want the man to lose. You want to take another career, another year out of Stafford's career, another player's career, just so you get rid of the coach. Okay. I mean, that's a losing mentality in itself for Lions fans are too accustomed to. Lions fans need to mature themselves. If the man is working hard, if the players are responding to him, and they start to win, even if you don't like him personally, who cares? I mean, you don't have to like him personally. If he's winning, he's doing his job. And I hope he continues to win because, you know, if he continues to win, let him keep his job. It's just that simple. I have nothing personal against the guy. If he's winning, let him keep his job.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I'm not sold on him right now. I'm still not sold on him. Now, I get what you're saying. Don't get me read it wrong. If the Lions make a deep playoff run, I think he can stay. Right now, I still don't think he's – I feel not sold on him. I still think he needs to go at this point. Now, looking at the two-game winning streak, I'm not still sold. And this is the reason why. You look at the wins that we have, the last two wins we have in the season. Now, I will give him credit for that Cardinals win. Good job. We beat a winning team. Looking at the game versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're a one-win team. We were supposed to blow them out. Now, the Falcons game, the Falcons are underachieving. Don't get me wrong. They're a really good team, but they've been underachieving. They've had some injuries on the defense.
They have talent down in Atlanta.
Yeah, they got talent down there. They've been underachieving, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And they've had some injuries as well. But look at the circumstances it took for us to win that game. You had to have a huge mental mistake by Todd Gurley for us to win that game, even to have an opportunity to win that game. So we blew out a one-win team, and we barely beat a one-win team. Now, I will say this, a win is a win. And I will never throw away a win versus any team because I always want the Lions to win. I'm always a big fan of the Lions themselves. We, as a Lions Nation, we appreciate Lions wins. But I'm just not jumping the gun. I'm not overly optimistic, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm not sold yet. You know, if he makes a deep playoff run or, you know, we have a good winning season, and it looks like with our schedule, we're kind of set up that way to have a decent run here in the next stretch of games. Going into actually really after the Thanksgiving game, we're gonna have a nice stretch where we can win a lot of games during that time period. But those teams are saying the same things about the Lions. So if the Lions defense continue to play the way they have, and I think that actually Matt Patricia actually gave the keys to the defense over to Unlin, where he's actually calling the plays, he's calling the defense where he's calling the defense the way he wants to. Now, Matt Patricia made a good statement today. I will give him his credit. He has let Unlin kind of make adjustments he puts the players in the system where they can play at their peak performance in the position and in the scheme that makes them a better defense. So he did give Unlin credit for that. So that Matt Patricia has kind of been, he took his hands off the defense and let Unlin run it. So, I'm still not overly sold on Matt Patricia, but if they can make a deep playoff run, he may change my mind. But
exactly. Patricia can't get comfortable on these last two games. You got to keep working hard. You got to keep on winning. He knows that. And I agree with that.
Yeah. And if he changes his tone and comes off of his arrogant ways, then he'll be all right with me. As long as he can, you know, stop living in the past and talking about stuff he did at other places and talk about what he's doing in Detroit, then he may get a little vote of confidence from me. But right now, nah, bruh, he ain't got it yet for me right now. Now, that was State Your Case for us right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. Nice little debate. I appreciate your candor, my man, and what you think about Matt Patricia. Now, let's get into the Lions versus the Colts preview. The Lions are coming in pretty healthy. They only had one player not practice today, and that was Reeves Maven. Desmond Trufant returned. You had some nagging injuries, but it looked like we were going to be coming into the game really healthy for this game versus the Colts. And they're coming in pretty healthy as well. You know, they got a couple players nicked up, but they're coming off a bye, so you know they're going to be healthy, and they're going to be coming in at full strength as well. Now, the Lions are 3-point underdogs at home versus this Colts team. Now, the Lions have a better offense than the Colts, but the Colts right now have a better defense. They're one of the top teams in the league in turnovers and the scoring defense. But I will say this, the teams they've beaten, if you look at the teams they played, they haven't played really good teams. I mean, they beat the Jaguars like we did. You know, they beat a couple of teams that was just kind of just down. So they've played some teams that don't have good records. Most of their wins have come against subpar teams. But I think the game can come down to special teams. What are your thoughts on just the matchup itself, the Lions versus the Colts?
Many ways, the Colts and Lions are similar. Mm-hmm. Ram, by Detroit, this is a litmus test for the Lions. Like you said, they have 3-point underdog at home mm-hmm. against the Colts. I think we beat the Colts. Phillip Rivers, he's still serviceable, but he's older now. I think Matt Stafford can outplay him. Mm-hmm. Once again, I wish we had Everson this week, but if we put pressure on Rivers or another older quarterback, you know, mm-hmm. pound him, hit him, sack him, I think that we should win. Mm-hmm. The Colts actually got the guy who I want the Lions to take, Jonathan Taylor, mm-hmm. the running back from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So the key matchup against the guy who we wanted, against the guy who we actually got in last year's draft. Mm-hmm. Like I said, don't make no super trades, Quinn. You got Everson Griffin. He's on the way. He's going to be coming soon. But don't trade away any of your weapons. Don't trade away Marvin Jones.
We talk about the Colts game, man. Come on, get back on topic. What's your key versus the Colts, bruh?
The key is to keep doing what you've been doing. Play that stingy defense, mm-hmm. stopping the run, mm-hmm. and, you know, staff will protect the ball. All the mm-hmm. players protect the ball. They have a fumble. Yeah, like you said, they have a fumble. Mm-hmm. Keep protecting that ball. Mm-hmm. And keep playing that stingy defense and get to the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's the key as well. I think they have to maintain that aggressive defense. Phillip Rivers has a propensity to turn the ball over in the red zone. He's thrown quite a few interceptions in the red zone, get down there by the goal line. So I think the Lions can take advantage of that, but they're going to have to cover some tough tight ends, especially with Jack Doyle over there on that side of the ball. Duke can ball out, so you're going to have to keep him in check. So keep pressure on Rivers, and I think we can turn the ball over several times and win a turnover battle. I think the three-point dog is going to get closer to maybe a 2-point or maybe a 2.5 once we get closer to the kickoff as far as the Lions and the injury report coming back. Now, you have to protect the ball. Like you said, Stafford can't throw the turnover interceptions because they have a ball-hawking secondary over there in Indy. But I think TJ Hockenson is going to be a key to the game as well. Him and Amendola, you know, they can take advantage of those linebackers in the middle of the field where they can go out and have a big game with those two. You can attack the middle of the field and those linebackers in Indianapolis. That's my really key to the game. Keep playing aggressive on offense, run the ball. You know, you're going to have to, you know, do some things a little differently. I think run swift, maybe some outside zones, you know, not quite stay with that run up the middle, those dive plays. I'm not really sold on those, you know, kind of get some zone reads, get some outsides. So, you know, something where, you know, running back and bounce it to the outside. So do those things and, you know, stay aggressive, you know, push the ball down the field and, you know, make some contested catches with, you know, we got Rhodes over there coming over from the Vikings. But, you know, I think Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones can take advantage of those matchups. So I'm liking the Lions in this one, but I want you to give your score prediction first on the game for Sunday. Who you got winning and what's the score?
Well, you know, going to the Lions, I mm-hmm. think the final score will be Lions 31, Colts 17.
All right. I got a little bit a heavier shootout right now. I got the Lions winning. I got them 33-30. That's going to be that special teams. Matt Prater kicks the game winning field goal at the end of the game. So there you go. Those are our Lions Colts preview for the next upcoming game. Now it is time for us to get on out of here, but let's first thank you again for watching our show right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. Hit the like button, hit the share button if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, hit the notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. And if you're listening on one of our podcast platforms, thank you for listening. We appreciate the download. And for Facebook, go over to our Facebook page, like it, follow it. Shawnee J does his thing over there on our Facebook page. He spreads the news like an old school paper boy. Hey, he's getting it done over there on our Facebook page. So now it's time for us to go ahead and get on out of here. Shawnee J, tell people how they can find you on the social media platforms.
You can find me on Facebook. My name is Sean Jennings. I'll be happy to take your friend request and be happy to add you to the Detroit Lions Jewels fan group page, where I'm the head administrator. And like Curtis said, please follow us on our Diehard Den page, which is a public page, and I keep both sites updated. Lions News.
Yes, he does. All right. You can find the show at Diehard Den Pod T1 over on Twitter. Our Facebook page, like Shawnee J said, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Die Hard Den Podcast. You can find your boy, Curtis Steele, at Curtis Steele 14 on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find our Instagram page for the Die Hard Den Podcast at die_hard_den_podcast. Shawnee J, what's your final thoughts for the fellas and the ladies in the crowd tonight?
Stay safe still. I mean, I heard this COVID, there's just some upticks in the COVID cases. Stay safe. We haven't got over that yet either. Make sure you keep your social distancing, wear your mask, wash your hands. And don't forget to vote this Tuesday, November 3rd. I don't care who you vote for. Just vote.
Hey, my man, take the words right out of my mouth. Go and vote. Please go vote. Exercise your constitutional right to vote. My family and I did it this Tuesday in North Carolina. We did our early voting. So if you have an early vote and you still can do it, go out and vote. If you're doing absentee, fill your ballot out and take it to your state of Secretary of State or a drop box. Because right now it is so key that you get those votes. And I don't care who you vote for. I spent 26 years protecting your right to vote. So do me a favor and go out and exercise that right. And stay safe. Wear your mask. Like Shawnee J said, the COVID is not over. It's just kicking back up. So, and whatever you do in life, do your man Curtis Steele a favor. You got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. For my man Shawnee J, this is Curtis Steele of the Die Hard Den Podcast, and we are out.